What's going on, football fans? It's me, J.R. Clark, back again with another Pound for Pound ATL. Joined, as always, by my main man, Toby D. And Jonathan is here. He's just trying to get his he's got some technical difficulties going on. You're muted, Jonathan, if you want to unmute. Oh, there we go. I unmuted you. So, right now, you get to look at a blank space with Jonathan. pretty sure we can hear him, maybe.
Hello.
Hey, there you go. No, we still just so you know, we still can't see you. I don't know what's going on, but it's okay.
Well, I'm gonna try swapping something out.
Okay. Well, just do what you gotta do and come back. All right. So I'm gonna remove him for a minute. Anyway. Okay. So, wish we were coming back under better circumstances. You know, with it being a new year and all that jazz. Is 2024 and new year, but same Falcons in a sense.
Amen.
Stuck at 7 wins so far. You get one more chance to try to get above 7 wins for the first time in Arthur Smith's head coaching tenure. But you got to do it on the road against the Saints. And wow, I don't think that's going to be a task. And now, possibly, you might be going back to Ritter, depending on if Heinicke's ankle is, good to go. That was just a crap show up there in Chicago.
Totally. Yeah, it was rough. But before we get too deep, Happy New Year to everybody that is on tonight. Now, some of you may still be, parlaying. You might not be going back to work just yet. Congratulations to you because you're getting more rest before you have to go back. You might be out the whole weekend. Through the week. But hey, shout out to y'all. Happy New Year. And yes, the Falcons definitely did not bring in the new year well.
No.
It was rough, to say the least.
We had a Christmas miracle the week before.
Yep.
And I guess we had New Year reality, this week. I'm not sure on what the deal was. But Fred's already in here. Let me get my
There he is.
There he is. Let's see here.
15.
He says, Arthur Smith is not a head coach. He's inconsistent with players. Taylor has been absolutely terrible. Game doesn't get pulled, but when Ritter makes mistakes, he gets pulled and benched. Okay. It's really interesting, right? Because the inconsistency, he hit on a point there. That's been my biggest issue. I went on a pretty good rant on Twitter for those who follow me, talking about, I see a lot of, you wasted, 2 years have been wasted. Now 3 years have been wasted. I really look at it as 1 year has been wasted, and that's this season. And I say that because of, you had to fix the roster.
Mm-hmm.
And that took time with where we were at in the, with the salary cap, aged roster, that kind of stuff, you had to fix the roster. But during that roster fixing time, there has been a lack of consistency in the way the game has been played for the Atlanta Falcons. You either have a game where you're there's only one type of game that Arthur can seem to win, or not win, but just want to play. And that's staying within a, possession or two.
Mm-hmm.
And, trying to get it at the end kind of deal. Anytime a team has jumped out on the Atlanta Falcons with Arthur, it has been, it's not been good. I think about the Bengals last year. They jumped out on us big time. And we weren't in that game at all. And this year, there's been not a time or two, but definitely the Bears this past week, jumped out to a 14-0 lead. And you never really felt like you had a chance to get back in it. Not really. Maybe the D offered punt, but
let's look at the positives here. Let's look at some positives here.
Oh, please do, because right now I'm not there.
Ryan Nielsen, other than a few lapses this year, has been a breath of fresh air. I mean, his defense has more sacks than they've had in years, right? It's been a long time, even since going back to Dan Quinn. I mean, they were terrible when it came to sacks. And, you know, now look at them. They are high in the sack number. So that's a positive. That means a great thing for the Atlanta Falcons as far as identity goes. We have an identity on defense. Now we're trying to figure out what identity is on offense. We got some good pieces on offense. We got two running backs, Thunder and Lightning, right now, in Algier and Robinson, that are going to be great for this Atlanta Falcons team. That screen on Sunday was one of the best screens I've seen us run in a long time, execution style. The blocking was magnificent to spring Algier on a 75-yard touchdown off that screen pass. So that was beautiful. Robinson is going to be great. Okay, I think we got two great running backs. I think that the passing game actually looked better with Taylor. But we know what Taylor is. We don't know what he's going to give us. Unfortunately, he gave us what he sometimes is, an interception machine on Sunday, through three picks. And then, you know, of course, Ritter didn't do no better by coming out there adding the fourth one on in the game. So, I mean, we pretty much handed Chicago the game as much as we could give them. So, you know, but there's positives, man. We got a team, man. We have a team here. And I think you give Arthur Smith, I hate that I'm really saying this because I really would like Arthur Smith to be gone. But, hey, give him one more year. Let's see what he's going to do. I think he has a defensive coordinator now. That's the right one for the Atlanta Falcons. Now let's give him a chance to keep building up the roster and see if we're going to finally pick us a quarterback in 2024 draft.
Yeah, we're going to get into all that. We're not doing our typical, like, banner, like, topics and stuff like that, because I think today I think it would just be best served to just, you know, generally talk about the team and kind of do it almost old school in a sense. And you're talking about, you know, quarterback wise, Bradley Burnett, our good buddy Bradley. Let me get back to the daggum. Hey, we can see Jonathan this time. There he is. What's happening, Jonathan? How are you, buddy? What was going on?
I was trying to do something a little different, like set it up a little bit different, and it did not like that for some reason.
Did not do it. I got to give Bradley the air horn. So
there you go.
All right. So he says, all the fields talk. I want us to move up for Drake or something. What would a Fields trade look like? So you talk about the quarterback deal. A Fields trade, I saw somebody put up, like, a league source says the Bears could probably get a second or third round for the – Jonathan?
Yeah, you got all mechanically.
Is it fixed? Because I was getting some weird feedback on my end. Is it going to be one of those nights?
It's going to be one of those.
That's all right. It wouldn't be no different than what the Falcons did on Sunday.
Look, man, we try to be more professional.
We'll plow through. That's what we always
anyway,
do.
So I saw a report saying that a Fields trade would be somewhere in like the neighborhood of a second or a third, possibly. You know, there's going to be like a package, like a Sam Darnold type package. And so Bradley says, like, what would that look like? I think what it would look like skill set wise. I mean, you saw it on display, you know, against our defense. We've had a rough time against mobile quarterbacks. You know, our worst games defensively, you know, came from dealing with mobile quarterbacks. But I think, like I said earlier, I think Fields would offer you more, like, Ritter times, you know, X talent wise. I don't know what the outcome would be because I'd have to see it with our play calling. But if you can imagine, you know, our run heavy scheme, which is what Chicago's been running, our run heavy scheme with, you know, the RPO game, you know, could be well with him. But he says he'd rather trade up for Drake May or somebody. I don't think you have to mortgage something you're talking about before we went live, Toby. I don't think you have to mortgage your future this year. There's a lot of good choices.
In
this draft, you saw a few of them yesterday. For any of you who watched the college football playoff, I mean, JJ McCarthy looked like exactly what Arthur Smith wants out of a quarterback. You know, the throwing on the run, using his athleticism, that kind of stuff. Threw three touchdowns. So then Penix, Michael Penix, holy crap. Like if his, I could see him having a Anthony Richardson type rise, but where Anthony Richardson rose through the draft because of his athletic, like freak of natureness.
Yeah.
If Michael Penix's knees and stuff check out and pass NFL medical checks, like his throwing ability is probably, yeah. I mean, the only one who I think throws the ball better is possibly, you know, possibly thinking, yep, it's coming from you there, John B.
It's weird. It said it muted your mic.
Well, no, I was muting to see if it was coming from you. It started up again, and so I wanted to mute it to see if it disappeared, and it did. Anyway, doesn't matter. It's okay. No big deal. But with I don't think you're going to have to trade up was what I was getting at. Long-winded answer of saying I don't think you need to trade up in this particular draft unless you just absolutely fall in love with a Drake May or with a like Jaden Daniels. Because you got Washington ahead of you. You've got who else is ahead of you in the draft order? That would be, I know Washington, and I think the Giants.
Yeah, Tennessee. Yeah. I think Tennessee is ahead of us. The Giants are ahead of us. Washington.
Because I know Washington's probably going to be pushing for a QB, and they're at two.
Yeah.
Right now, currently. Yeah. And.
Oh yeah, so they're either getting Caleb Williams or Drake May, one of the two.
And then you have New England, who's probably going to draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
So if there's one that you absolutely got to have, and like it's if it's a Jaden, to me if it's a Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, or Drake May, then you're gonna have to move up to one, and you're gonna have to mortgage that future. But anyway, so we'll keep getting into that. We got more people that have
the only one I would. Like the one I would do that for is probably Jaden Daniels.
Right now in this one, like I really need to go back and study some more like Drake May. I'm not a huge fan of Caleb Williams, and that's probably more my bias of Lincoln Riley's system versus like his actual talent. There's some other things that rub me the wrong way with Caleb Williams, but that's just probably like the fact that I'm old and I'm going to yell, get off my lawn, you know, type situation. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how much that actually affects like QB football play, you know, and I'm fully willing to admit that. All right. But Willie Doc, we appreciate
you. Willie. I'm out of sorts here.
You are out of sorts. You're messing us all up, John.
I am. I apologize.
Yeah, man, we love you.
There you go,
we
Willie.
He says, Willie says, I was hoping the thumbnail would have been receivers bunched to the right, confused on what play was going to be called, epitomizes the offense. I really don't know where the discombobulation comes in the offense. You know, it's easy to say, oh, it's Arthur Smith. And maybe it is at this point. Like you're never going to get a real true answer. You have the narrative that you want, whether that's Arthur Smith, whether that's, you know, he's an idiot or whatever. You as a fan has decided what your narrative is. Okay. But I'll tell you this, the guy was able to produce a good offense in Tennessee when he was the OC, and it's hard for me to believe that in that short a period of time, he's absolutely 100% forgotten how to construct an offense. So there's some other factors that we're not thinking about. I keep coming back to how young the offensive skill position guys are, how there's no like real veteran leadership there, outside of Mac Hollins, you know? And so I don't know how much of that has an effect. couldn't tell you.
I mean, Mac Hollins has basically been penciled out of existence in his offense.
Yeah, him and Cordell. Like, you could say Cordell's a vet, but, like, if you be any of y'all keep an eye on the Twix, you know, Cordell was brought up over the weekend, and he even chimed in with, you know, that he wasn't happy. Is that a sign that Arthur's losing the locker room, you know, because Cordell was his biggest supporter, right? Because he got his career revitalized.
Yeah.
So you like, so you look at it and go, oh, well, maybe that's a sign of him losing the locker room, or it's a sign of the coaches going, okay, Cordell's a little older. We're not trying to like run the offense through him like we had to earlier.
Yeah.
Now we're trying to run it through the, you see what I'm saying? Cause even in that situation, you can see another side.
It could be all of that. It could be, he's not happy because maybe they've heard internally that, and I'm not saying this is, I haven't heard anything or seen anything to this nature, but that there's likely going to be a coaching change and maybe he's not happy with that. You know, there's all kinds of reasons why he could not be happy.
Mm-hmm. All right. So now we're getting into Dirty Bird says the only thing that the Falcons make rise up is our blood pressure. That much is for sure. My blood pressure definitely goes through the roof, even though I have found probably the least like stressful way to watch it. And that's just watching the red zone. At least then I don't have to necessarily watch as many of the play-to-play blunders. I go back and watch all that in the comfort of knowing whether we won or lost. Anyway, Fred, our good buddy Fred, firmly believes Arthur Smith lost his job Sunday. There was a quote today by Daniel Flick, our good buddy, Mr. Flick, which we need to get him back on the show one day. I need to reach out to him. I want to pull this up, see if I can find it quickly. I don't know if y'all saw it or not. Okay. It says, Arthur Smith was asked several questions about his future and was primarily vague, as you would figure. He said, but he gave one excerpt that caught my eye. Very confident and grateful. So I didn't read the full article because I didn't have time to, but I saw that and I thought that was interesting. Wonder if he's been, that can maybe lead you to believe that he's been given a vote of confidence. Who knows? That's that one. All right, last one. Willie Doc, man, we appreciate
Willie.
You.
As Willie always. Doc.
We are so far into this thing and we ain't even gotten to ballers and followers yet. I told you it was kind of a weird show today with Jonathan jumping in and out and just to kind of getting back to work myself. So just getting back into the swing of things. But anyway, he says his baller is D. Alford. Faller is Heinicke. He says, I miss Matt Ryan. It's so funny how a couple years of bad QB play and I don't see nearly as many people bad mouthing MR2. But nonetheless, I digress. Yep. I seem to remember saying you don't know what you got until it's gone. Anyway.
Exactly.
Honorable mentions, Caden Ellis, side-eye glance, Bud Dupree. Bruh, wrap up, please.
Man, he wasn't the only one, though, man. Like, two or three people had a chance on that play, and that just that was the straw that broke my back. And I was just like, whatever ends up happening in this game, we win, we lose, I'm just like, I was not looking forward to any more football for the rest of the day.
Right. All right, so...
Which the crazy thing is, if we pull out that game, literally everything else that we wanted to happen in a perfect scenario for us to win the division, all this other stuff happened. Yep. And it's like, really? Well,
that's the thing. That's the part that has infuriated me with this coach. It's the inconsistency. Like I'm not even screaming at the, you know, play calls or whatever, because I have seen more than once, like, dial up a good play, you know, somebody's wide open and they don't even get, you know, thrown to or what have you. All right, but anyway, so our ballers and fallers, which has kind of turned into my ballers and fallers, so I really need to let you two. So, Jonathan, give me a baller.
Oof.
All right, Toby, give me a bowler.
Man,
I'm Tyler Allgeier.
I think that was one of the.
He showed that he can run that football faster than what we thought he could do. I mean, he blew the doors off when he got out there, and nobody could catch him.
That was a good run. Jonathan, you come up with anything?
Like as soon as he said that, like that's the one thing that came out of that game. Like when that happened, I was like, oh man,
right?
You know, that was
right.
You know, and I think, you know, I am glad that we got Robinson, because I think he's a guy that once we figure something out on offense, I think he's going to be a super duper asset.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Tyler Allgeier.
Oh yeah,
I like his running style. I like his toughness.
I think they're going to be a good 1-2 punch for quite a while. So
what I dread is he somehow becomes the Michael Turner for us for somebody else.
Oh yeah. Then maybe, who knows?
Ooh, man, that'd be sad.
Yeah. All right. So my baller. The Bears.
Oh, Bears. Wow.
I mean, I sat here and looked at it, and outside of like Tyler Allgeier, I was like, there's nothing. Like in all three phases of the game, we looked inept.
Yeah.
And that part just like it made it hard for me to, you know, give anybody the baller award, right? And I thought to myself, I was like, it'd be absolutely hilarious if the Bears, after all season, we keep talking about how the Bears need to just trade Justin Fields and all this, especially like trade him to Atlanta. And we're not the only ones to say, a lot of the talking heads are like, send him back to Atlanta, Michael Vick 2.0, homecoming, all that good stuff. It'd be hilarious if his like dominant performance against the Falcons is what keeps him in Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that would be just like some kind of poetic justice. All right. Give me a faller, Jonathan.
I mean, can I only name one?
I would prefer to stick to one. We do try to keep the show somewhat in a timely fashion.
AJ Terrell. Got AJ roasted Terrell. All day long.
He got roasted and Akuda didn't even see no snaps.
Nope.
Like, how the mighty have fallen. Toby, what's your faller?
I'm giving it to the secondary.
Secondary.
They basically got whipped yesterday. I mean, they got whipped front, side, and back. You know, they just couldn't seem, and we've seen this happen a few times this year where the secondary was just all out of sorts and they just couldn't figure out how to get it together.
Yeah.
So my faller is the whole secondary.
So
I wasn't worried about the defense after the first touchdown they give up, because they've done that before. They give up that early touchdown or whatever, then they settle in.
Yeah.
But then like they came back and like scored a touchdown on the very next one. And then next thing you know, they've scored three touchdowns in the first half. It's like, what is going on?
Yep. All right. So my faller, I don't know if it's gonna shock anybody or not. Y'all might see a theme. But my faller is the Falcons. The whole team fall from Koo missing points to D. Alford tripping on the turf monster to Heineke throwing picks out the wazoo to Bud Dupree not wrapping up. Like you went on the road in bad weather for the third time this year, and two out of the three times you've been on the receiving end of an embarrassing loss. And so for me, the faller was a whole team, because it was a full team effort. You can't even point at the defense saying, oh, well, they didn't even give up no touchdowns. No, they gave up touchdowns. You can't look, oh, well, if Koo had made those kicks, sure, okay, fine. If he'd have made those kicks, you'd have lost maybe not by 20. You'd have lost by, you know, whatever.
14.
And, oh, if D. Alford goes in, okay, fine, you lose by 7. You know, either way, you know, you still lose this game. And so for me, it's ridiculous, right?
Yep.
All right. Honorable mentions. Who's your honorable mention, Jonathan?
Don't have one. There was no honorable. It was Tyler Allgeier, and then everybody else stunk it up.
There you go. Toby?
I'm throwing Chris Lindstrom in there, man.
Okay.
I mean, because he played well to me, and that block that he – if his block doesn't happen, Allgeier stopped right there.
Yeah.
That block was a key block to help spring Allgeier open to get down there for them 75 yards on that screen pass. Like I said, that was one of the most beautiful screen passes I've seen. Now, you know when Dirk Cutter was here. I'm sorry to mention his name, guys. Oh. He just couldn't run the screen to save our life. And so to see that screen happen on Sunday, it was a beautiful one. And Chris Lindstrom was a huge part of that.
Yep.
Springing that open.
Yes, sir. Yep. All right, so my honorable mentions, two guys, Tyler Allgeier and Caden Ellis. Yep. Caden Ellis has been a breath of fresh air in that linebacker, him and Nate Landman. You know, he's getting, I say back in that rhythm, but had himself a sack, you know, tackles, he's all over the place. So I really liked
his the mic'd up segment from last week.
Yeah,
with that had him. It was really, really good.
Right. It's you know, it is. It's been enjoyable watching, you know, Caden Ellis this year. He was one of the question marks, you know, coming in. You giving him, you know, $21 million, and he's never been a full time starter. He was a pretty big question mark, but he's done real well, and I've enjoyed watching Caden Ellis.
Yep.
So that's our second to last ballers. We only got one more next week, and we're done. But there we go. There's that. Like I said, I don't have any fun filled banners for anybody this week. But Fred brings up an interesting point for $5. We appreciate it greatly, Fred.
Appreciate it, Mr. Butts.
He says we win the division if we beat the Saints and the Bucks lose. That's crazy.
it is bananas, man.
There was. Let's see. Wow. I put it out there as a retweet, so let's see if I can find it. Okay. The range of outcomes in Week 18 for the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons, if they win and the Bucks lose, NFC South champions and hosting the Eagles.
Wow.
Who could fail harder in that such scenario? Because Philadelphia has.
They've looked rough. Then Philadelphia Bulldogs have choked it up quite late.
Man.
Sorry. Like I know Toby used that, you know, I don't fully root for a college team.
No,
I ain't
man,
trying to poke fun of the Bulldogs.
It's okay, man.
We two time
back to back champions. There it is. We can afford to lose one of them out.
Hey, at least Roll Tide rolled home.
Yeah, exactly. They did exactly what they should have did. Go home. Anyway. They weren't supposed to be in there anyway. But I knew when they won against Auburn, I knew what it was gonna be. But anyway.
Right. So the next scenario is a loss and the Jets beating the Patriots, which is possible. Both of those scenarios are very possible.
If we lose
uh-huh. on Sunday and the Jets beat the Patriots. Okay.
Okay. How does that help us?
It doesn't. No. This is the range of outcomes.
Oh.
So the best range is we beat the Saints and the Bucks lose and we go to the NFC South as the champions, right? The other side of that scale is a loss and the Jets beat the Patriots and we'll be picking eighth in the draft for the third year in a row.
Well, that's a win.
No, it's not. like literally, and it has nothing to do with the eighth pick in the draft. There was John Fricke okay. tweeted out something earlier today. He's like, If you call yourself an Atlanta Falcons fan, but you're rooting for the Falcons to lose to the Saints, you're not a Falcons fan. Turn your card in. And I don't care if we lost to the New Orleans Saints and that guaranteed us the first round, the number one overall pick in this year's draft, I would still be like, I don't care. I want to beat the Saints.
Oh yeah, for sure.
If we only ever have two wins the entire season. I want those two wins to be the Saints. And if they are, that is a successful season. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. I always want to beat the Saints. Nathan Floyd agrees as well. I don't know if I got a lot of faith in where we do it. I don't know.
No. I got no faith going into this week whatsoever. None. There is nothing about the way this is setting up that has me have any form of confidence. None. Now there's some major irony coming on, you know, like, especially if Ritter has to start because of Heinicke's ankle, like he starts on the road again against the Saints.
They already said Ritter's going to start.
Did they? I hadn't seen that.
Yep.
Where did they say that at? You find me a tweet that says that. Cause I'll be shocked. I mean, I can miss it. I could have fully missed it, but I hadn't seen anything that I saw where I saw that Heinicke's going to do everything he can to give it a go, but they were going to prepare Ritter to start, like, in case. But I haven't seen any kind of official designation.
I mean, at this point, y'all, I'm just going to be honest. I don't care who starts. We only got a piece of a quarterback anyway, and that's with Taylor Heinicke and Desmond Ritter together.
Yeah. Like, you at this point, so at this point, like, start Woodside.
That's what I'm thinking.
Like, start Woodside. You know what
I'm saying? Okay, so I was incorrect. I thought I read somewhere that he did, but Rappaport says – no, well, this was January 1st, so this was yesterday. But he said that Taylor Heinicke, dealing with a left ankle injury, will do everything he can to play. They hope to know by Friday, and we'll get Desmond Ritter ready just in case.
Yeah, that's what I saw. I didn't see any kind of like official he's going to start kind of thing. Let's see. I'm going to spend a good bit of time in the chat for the rest of the show. So if y'all got, you know, questions or comments, you know, I think a good vent session will go a long way for us. Let's see. There was one I saw earlier. Somebody's talking about Russell Wilson. No, I'm good. Y'all, I don't want Russell Wilson anywhere near here.
Uh-oh.
Jonathan, you got a wire crawl somewhere. You started talking and everything went crazy. I don't know. Blizz says Falcons don't need a QB that cries to his mama after a loss. I think they were talking about Russell Wilson.
Nope.
Yeah, I'm good on that. Huckle, our good friend Huckle, says not interested in bringing in a vet or a rookie with Smith as the head coach. Well, you're going to do something if you keep
him. Yeah, you're going to have to bring. You're going to have to bring him a QB. You're going to have to get one.
Supposedly, huh?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you right now. We'll see. Keep it rocking. Supposedly you don't want him out of the draft. Why do you think? Okay, I guess we're talking about Fields. The whole supposedly, I don't know where that came out that they didn't want him. Somebody will have to show me a report saying, you know, because the way I looked at that first year is, they thought they were going to get 2 to 3 years with Matt Ryan. And they were going to attempt to build a team with Matt Ryan at the helm and then hopefully drop in a QB later on, right? The only one out of that draft that I felt like they wanted was Trey Lance. Mm-hmm. And my only thought process there is because of how high San Francisco went up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, because Willie says that here. He says 2 points. One, Trey Lance. Remember, San Francisco jumped us to get him, and he would be cheap. Two, just let Penix fall to you. Don't trade assets in the draft. Ask Jeff Schultz. Okay, well, if you can, and I'm not trying to be a smartass, Huckle. I'm really not. I'm not even trying to, like, poke you or anything like that. But if you can find an article, then I'll definitely change my tune. Because if there's one out there, that means I missed it, and which is totally possible. I will fully acknowledge that I don't read every single solitary thing that hits the internet about the Falcons, especially not when it's behind a paywall. So,
yeah.
That's, you know, just my opinion. Bradley's got an interesting thing. He says trade Pitts, get maybe a second and a second and a third. I don't know if you'd get that for him. Pick a top QB in the draft using those picks and the Ridley picks, move up, pick up a vet tight end that fits the system better. Pitts' talent is wasted in the run first offense. What do you think about trading Pitts?
I was going there. I think that is a beautiful blessing for the Falcons to do that. Why the man is still young. Because this offense has shown that they really don't have to have Kyle Pitts, in my opinion. I mean, Michael Pruitt has benefited more than Kyle Pitts has. And now that you got Jonnu Smith, there may be an indication that that means that Pitts might be gone in a trade scenario somewhere before the season starts for another team, because Jonnu Smith has fit in quite nicely and Michael Pruitt. So I would think, to me, Kyle Pitts is the guy out. That's an easy fix and an easy answer to trade Kyle Pitts and see what you can get for him.
I think a lot of it is going to come down to I hate to say it's like every time I try to sit down and convince myself, okay, let's get started looking at the offseason and figuring out like what the team needs, yada, yada, and who fits whatever that need is. I get so hung up because I need to know what staff is going to be here.
Right.
That's the hurdle right now is, you know, with Arthur Smith's like tenure being up in the air. And at this point, I have to say rightfully so, not necessarily because of the first 2 years, but we could get into all of it. But anyway, if he's not going to be here and you bring in a guy off of, say, some guy off of somebody put out a Press Taylor, from the Jags, you know, Taylor, the Bengals brothers, the Bengals head coach, Zach Taylor's brother. Press Taylor. Let's just throw him out there, right? They've used Ingram real well down there in Jacksonville. Then Pitts might be an asset, right? If you're keeping Arthur as the head coach, then, yeah, you need to have like some serious talks like, okay, dude, we have a chance to gather some more assets to do like Bradley's talking about and maybe move up and secure whoever it is you want, you know, as far as QB goes, right? But one of the ways that we can do this is to move off of Pitts.
Mm-hmm.
Because the last few games, I mean, he was starting to like look like he was turning a corner a little bit. Kinda. Not really. No. Shit. And I'm trying, guys. I'm trying to be optimistic. It ain't happening.
It is what it is, man.
It was like false optimism last week. I tried to keep it rolling, but I was like, even then, you know.
Well, like coming out of last week, I was like, if we can play like that.
See, it's always an if, right? If we can, and that's the part that I'm tired of. It's like the whole, if we can keep it going, if we can, I'm tired of the ifs in that sense. Like Fred's echoing the point that I made for $2. We appreciate it. He says, the new head coach is going to want Pitts. Possibly.
Maybe.
Who knows? Like, Pitts wouldn't be the first time a tight end in the first round flamed out. And, you know, so.
Which is crazy coming off of his rookie year. I mean, like, coming out of the rookie year, like, this guy was – everybody was like, this guy's going to be the next big thing. You know, when he's catching passes from Matt Ryan, dude go with no other weapons really around him at all, dude goes for over 1,000 yards.
Right.
So,
but still, he had the Julio Jones thing, which was, you know, no touchdowns or one touchdown. Like, that's kind of crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nick is echoing something I've been saying for a while. Pitts to the Chiefs, like as an heir apparent to Travis Kelce. You know, let them go a couple years with, you know, killing people, two tight end sets, you know, and then Pitts could just take over. Or if I'm often like wherever Bieniemy ends up, if he ends up as an OC or an HC, I could see you know, Pitts fitting in there as his Travis Kelce, you know, type player. So the problem
with that, like, and I'm fine with, like, if he wants to, you know, try that. The biggest problem I have with Pitts is, unlike a Travis Kelce, unlike a Tony Gonzalez, even Tony Gonzalez, the last 2-3 years of his career, when he had slowed down considerably, was still able to get super wide open, was still able to catch, like, contested catches. He was able to do all that stuff because he used his body properly. And that's the one thing I think Pitts just doesn't do as well as some of the other tight ends that I see out there, because he doesn't have the big frame, right? And he doesn't box out quite like a Tony Gonzalez or you know, those kind of guys. They don't do those things where it's like, yeah, I got a guy, he's right behind me, but don't worry about him, I'm open, just toss it. No, I mean, he's literally a wide receiver playing tight end. And that's the biggest problem I have.
Right. King Seven, our good buddy King Seven.
What's up, King?
He says, it's crazy how fast we're writing him off talking about Pitts. And he's the unicorn, but want to give Ritter forever. This channel has not wanted to give Ritter forever. So I hope you're not pointing.
At best, this channel was like, let's see what he has for the year.
Yeah, that's.
And now that's we've
been
seen
the,
it.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think that's been the consensus, at least, you know, of this three sets of talking heads.
It's not because Kyle Pitts is not talented. It's because Kyle Pitts is not utilized in his offense. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that. The last 2 years, he has not been heavily used in his offense. He got hurt last year. Then this year, he played a full season. When we get to the last game, he would have played a full season. He's not even going to have, I don't even think, 700 yards of passing offense, receiving offense. So it's because he doesn't fit the way that they're using him in his offense. I'm not writing him off. You go back, I was the one that predicted the Falcons would take him at the fourth overall pick before the draft even started. Hmm. Okay? And that's exactly what we did. So I wanted Kyle Pitts here, but Kyle Pitts is not being utilized like the talent he was when he was with the Florida Gators. Okay? And so if you're not going to use him like that, then you need to see if you can get some trade for him while he's still young. I think you can still garner at least a first and possibly a third round pick for the guy, because he still has magnificent talent for the right team that is willing to take him and do what needs to be done right by him, like he was when he was with the Florida Gators. That's what I'm saying. I'm not writing him off. He just don't fit with what we're doing right now. Michael Pruitt and Janu Smith are clearly getting a lot of the touches as the tight ends of the team.
So King follows it up with, so do you keep Pitts or Smith? Like, is the that's why
it doesn't have to be an either or.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but that's where I have a tough time right now, right? I'll have much clearer answers in a sense once Black Monday comes, right? Mm-hmm. And once we know, hey, is it Smith? And then if it is Smith, okay, or is he bringing in somebody to, you know, help collaborate with? Because I love how people talk about, like, Smith's arrogance or whatever. I think that gets chalked up to the way he is with the media, you know, because that's all we really get to see of him. But I actually get the sense that, you know, Smith, like, collaborates well as far as with the people that he listens to, the people that are around him, is what I'm getting at. Okay. So if it's Smith, do you then bring somebody in to help with that process? Because if not, then if you're just going to run it back with exactly, you know, with exactly what you have, mm-hmm. you know, Ragone and Yates and Schaub and all those guys, then no, we can trade Pitts and get some value from them.
I mean, I think even if we were in a situation where, let's say that the Falcons won two more games and they're basically assured a playoff spot at this point, but they pulled out a couple of the games that we defense made an extra stop, right?
Right.
Even in that scenario, I don't think you come out of this season regardless. I mean, obviously, if you go into the playoffs, win a Super Bowl, that's a whole different matter. But I don't think even in that scenario, I don't think anybody's thinking we're going to go and even make it to, let alone win the Super Bowl. Okay. But short of that, I don't think there's, you know, even if we make it to the playoffs, I don't think you look at this offense and be like, okay, we're good. Let's stand pat. I don't think you can do that. And I don't think they would. We'll see whether or not, you know, how delusional we think that they actually end up being. But even then, I think you have to make some kind of change at the offensive side of the ball, because even when it works, it doesn't work well enough.
Right. No, I agree completely, 100%. This is let's see. We got a couple things we got to hit the rookie. This is interesting to me. $2 from Fred. Pitts hasn't had a real QB, including Ritter. Is Fred seeing some light here? I just had to get that real quick. And then,
well, he has had a real QB.
Yeah, Matt Ryan his first year. Mike Dubb.
Mike Dubb.
He says, I don't know if y'all remember this from a few years back. He says, I'm selling Arthur Smith milk cartons. Come on, come on. I mean, I just love when Mike would put folks on a milk carton. And Arthur Smith definitely has deserved being put on a milk carton. Nathan Floyd says, trade Arthur to the Chargers. I'm down. They want him. Give me a draft pick. Now, I actually think that's where Jim Harbaugh ends up. If Jim Harbaugh wins the national title in Michigan,
again,
even if he don't, I think Jim Harbaugh, I'm calling a shot now, a random NFL shot. I think Jim Harbaugh ends up coaching the Chargers next year.
Wasn't there some smoke that they were looking to do an extension with him? Michigan was, but like literally there was going to be something in there like, hey, you can't talk to the NFL for like,
oh, I haven't seen that, but like I wouldn't be surprised. And the reason why I say that is because there was a smoke that came out that he hired Tom Brady's agent, and who obviously has much ties to the NFL. Now, whether that's him trying to do the Jim Harbaugh thing of eke more money out, couldn't tell you. But
the crazy thing there is, why go back to the NFL? If you win, and I think they probably win against Washington.
I don't know. Okay. Anyway,
but that Michigan defense looks stout. So let's say you win the national title as the head coach of the Michigan Wolverines. That's like Nick Saban going back to the NFL. People are like, every now and then you get somebody saying, what about Nick Saban? Is he going to go back? Why would he ever go? You win a national title as a Michigan Wolverine head coach. Why would you ever go anywhere else?
Ego, as is with all of them. It's like everybody's like,
yeah, oh, but then you get treated like a god if you stay in Michigan. That's no joke.
Yeah, no.
Like Saban, that's the reason why Saban's not going anywhere until he decides to retire or he dies. Because like he's literally a king on a throne in Alabama. As long as he keeps like showing up to the playoffs or getting to the national title game or winning one like every so often or just being relevant, like he's not going anywhere. And Harbaugh's on the cusp. Like Kirby Smart, why go anywhere but Georgia right now?
I saw like somebody was like, I saw some like rumors, not even rumors, like Kirby Smart to the Falcons. I was like, why in God's name would he do that?
Yeah, no.
He right now he can do no wrong in Athens. There is no reason to go anywhere.
I mean, at Michigan, Georgia, Alabama, there is a very real likelihood that if you continue coaching in those locations, you're probably going to, within the next 15 years, each of those teams or programs will probably win at least one, if not more, titles in that time frame.
And in a sense, it's about to get easier to at least get in the conversation.
Yep.
Because the format that they're going to next year, like Georgia would have been in, Alabama would have been in even without the tomfoolery, and so would have, you know, Florida State. You know what I'm saying? So, but anyway, that's we're not the college football show. I don't know. Toby might be. Toby, you the college football show?
Yeah, man. Because I would love for Jim Harbaugh to come to the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, he's already had success in the NFL, and he's taking quarterbacks you probably couldn't use anywhere else, i.e., Colin Kaepernick, who had more success under him than anybody. So this is a guy that at least he's a QB whisperer, you know, and he loves to do his ritual where he likes to pat you on the shoulder pads as a quarterback and hype you up before you go out there and throw about 4 or 5 touchdowns and run for 200 yards. Hey,
like,
let's do it.
Jim Harbaugh is a basket case. That dude, when he gets into the NFL, he's going to run into any sort of adversity in the NFL, because if he's an Atlanta Falcons head coach, he sure as hell is going to run into adversity. And when he does, that dude's going to pull a what was the linebacker? I can't remember, but he was a head coach of the 49ers. He
dropped his drawers. Mike Singletary.
Mike Singletary. He can pull a Mike Singletary, but he's going to do it on the field, just going to drop trowel right there, because that man, his head exploded from too much adversity.
I don't know. I will say this. With Harbaugh, he took a program at Stanford and put them at national relevance for a good chunk of time. He had the 49ers, you know, in a Super Bowl, knocking on a door with Kaepernick, and it's taken a little while, but you know, he's gotten Michigan back to now I will say this, wherever he goes, especially if it's in the National Football League, his like press conferences would be almost impossible to listen to. He reminds me of Christopher Walken when he talks. Any of y'all know that guy? So like there, some of the things he says is insanity, but he's proven. Like, I have to say this, if you're not wanting to go with an unproven guy, like a, you know, that's the question I've been asking everybody who wants somebody else. I got no problem with you wanting somebody else, but like, I want to know why you're like, when your reasoning of wanting, because like MJ says right here, you know, Todd Monken, head coach, proven at UGA and now with the Ravens, and is a veteran in the game. He's proven as an OC. Okay. I think he had a stint as interim HC with the Bucks, didn't he? When Cutter got let go?
I want to say he did, yeah.
So, you know, with any of these guys who haven't been head coaches, here's another one that I knew his name was going to come up.
Yep.
Bobby Slowick, Ben Johnson, Mike McDaniels. Right,
was Ben Slowick, is this the first year as OC?
Yes. This is the first year at OC, because he was in the Shanahan organization.
And he has CJ Stroud.
Right. So, as I'm saying, like, what gives – and this is not me trying to be sarcastic or even, like, condescending. I'm legitimately asking you a question. What gives you the confidence that this guy is going to be the guy, right? And I say that because, you know, Nick, you know, is like, Nick, Ben Johnson uses his weapons. Okay, let me remind you, again, not trying to be a jerk, not trying to be a smart aleck. 2,000 yards for Derrick Henry, 1,300 yards for A.J. Brown, almost 1,000 yards for Corey Davis, who's no longer in the league, and then Janu Smith and Anthony Firkser combined for almost 1,000 yards. Like, Arthur Smith didn't get the job just because his daddy was a FedEx guy. I know everybody loves to tout that. I know they do.
Yeah.
Because it's an easy thing to point out.
Yep.
Arthur Smith literally worked his way up through the organization. Through
like multiple organizations.
No, he's basically just been with Tennessee, if I'm not
really mistaken. I thought he was somewhere else.
He might have been somewhere else very shortly, but he spent the majority of his career working his way up the Tennessee organization. When he finally got his chance as the OC, he resurrected the career of Ryan Tannehill. Mm-hmm. He cemented Derrick Henry as one of the best backs in the league. He got A.J. Brown paid, traded, and then paid.
Yeah.
And so I get what you're saying. I really do. It's the idea that whoever you think the next hot name is, ask yourself, why? Why do you think this guy is going to be successful? That's all I'm asking you to do. Because I'll give it to you, Nick. He's 21 and 29 as a head coach. Some guys don't make the transition very well from coordinator to coach. It's been proven time and time again. Okay. Some guys are just better as a coordinator. You could point at currently Dan Quinn in Dallas. Mm-hmm. All he has is the responsibility of figuring out how to stop an offense. Right? He doesn't have to talent evaluate, not really. He doesn't have to like manage an entire team. All he has to do is focus on the defense. So my question is, when you get Bobby Slowick, Ben Johnson, Mike McDonald, insert name here, Todd Monken, I don't care, Ryan Nielsen, right? First year as a DC here.
Yep.
Right? We are enjoying, for the most part, the way the defense has looked on a yearly basis. Right?
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
What makes him the guy? Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season. He's not leaving Pittsburgh.
Yeah, no.
I hate to tell you, at least not this year.
They've had, three coaches in the last 30 years?
Right.
40 years? Something right. Like that? He's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere until he decides to hang him up. I guarantee you.
I'll say this. I am not trying to – I'm not making these statements as I want to keep, Arthur Smith. Because Arthur Smith this year has infuriated me.
Yeah.
And this was a guy that I wanted. I won't make no bones about it. I did a whole first video years ago when we fired Dan Quinn. My first video in the We Need a New Coach series was Arthur Smith. And I went on to do a bunch more after that, but he was my first video because he was the one I wanted. And it pains me to know that he's the one that wanted that has failed right now, as of right now. I don't necessarily look at the first 2 years because of roster construction, what you were trying to get out from under. But Toby, what is like when you're looking at potential head coaching candidates, what's something you're looking for?
They got to have a formula to win in the NFL. Arthur Smith hasn't shown that yet. He doesn't have a formula to win. He's all over the place. Even Mike Smith had a formula to win when he came to the Atlanta Falcons. Okay. He wasn't just under Jack Del Rio. He was under Brian Billick, who also had a formula to win, who was formerly Minnesota Vikings OC back when they had Chris Carter and Randy Moss over there. They had a high-powered offense over there. He took that success, went over to the Baltimore Ravens, and they ended up winning the Super Bowl. You got to have a winning formula as a coach, and Arthur Smith has not developed that yet. Yes, what he did as OC was great when he was with the Tennessee Titans, but that formula has not yet developed itself in Atlanta. We're not scoring points, which he was good at doing in the red zone when he was over there, okay? Mm-hmm. And this passing game is still anemic. Now, it has looked better under Taylor Heineke as of late, but when Taylor is throwing picks like he does, because we know that's who he is from his Washington days over there,
right?
Okay, he's known to do that at times, and that Taylor came out on Sunday, and then Ritter capped it off with his own pick that he's been given all year, throwing picks and fumbles and everything else. But Arthur Smith has not developed a winning formula as a coach yet. Now, I don't know what he gave, what plan he gave Arthur Blank and when he was in that room, because those coaching interviews are very tough, okay, to win over the owner, the president, and everybody. So you have to have a plan when you come in there. So whatever he sold, Arthur Blank signed off on it, and he gave him an opportunity. But Arthur Smith hasn't shown it yet. Now, I thought that this would be a year that they would do it. I thought the third year would be the year where they had to come out and win. Now, And we want to use the excuse, he don't have a quarterback. Okay, fine. I'll give him that. Let's get him one. Let's get him two. Let's go out here and get him a good vet that he can work with. We got plenty of money that we're going to still be under the cap and have plenty of money going into the next season. So let's give him a vet and let's give him a rookie out of the draft. And you got two guys that you can work with and see who's going to give you what Arthur Smith needs if he comes back. Now, historically, the coaches since 2012, Mike Smith and Dan Quinn, them, they've been allowed to rearrange their coaching staff. So now, even though Arthur Smith has changed the offense to change the defensive coordinator, maybe he'll get another opportunity and Arthur Blank will allow him, afford him that chance to be able to revamp his coaching staff a little bit more and see if that maybe can help him get over the hump. And after that, if it doesn't work, then hey, it's just time to go. But he don't have a winning formula right now. I wish he could get Mike Tomlin, but I don't see it happening.
No, not unless you want to trade for him. But go ahead, John.
Well, the problem is, like, and I get what you're saying. Like, you know, look for a guy who has a winning formula. The problem is, we won't know whether or not they do until we hire them. Or, you know, because I, like you said, when Arthur Smith is sitting there talking to Blank, like, and telling him his formula, like, this is how we are, how from here, this is how we become successful, right? Whatever that plan was, sounded really, really good. And I guarantee you, it's going to sound really good, most of them anyways, for anybody else that comes in to interview for the job. They're going to have some kind of plan in there, and most of them are probably going to sound, if not great, they're going to sound pretty good. And then it's Blank's job to figure out, or Fontenot's job to figure out who actually gets hired, right? But we won't know that until we actually see it, you know, game one of the regular season. We won't, and maybe not even then, you know, may take half a season before we really kind of get an idea of what that winning formula is. And yeah, Arthur Smith, the problem is, I think he has found it, but then he just doesn't want to stick with it. Like, he does, like, the winning formula for us has been, you know, heavily featuring the run game, like, you know, maybe not scoring a ton of points in the first half, maybe even being down by a couple points or whatever, you know, a touchdown at the end of the first half, but you pound them into the sand early in the early in the game. You keep doing that as much as possible. And then come late third and into the fourth quarter, you've pounded them into submission. And then now you score like a couple touchdowns or whatever at the end of the game. And now everything looks a lot better because that score looks a lot better at that point. But the problem is, he then goes away from that. He's not consistent. Exactly the thing JR talks about before is, like, it's the inconsistency. It's like, we think we found an identity, and it's like, all right, sweet. We thought we found this identity, you know, and then the very next week we go directly in the opposite direction with it. You know, and that's, I think that's the reason why everybody sits there and says, like, oh, he thinks he's so much smarter than everybody else. You know, oh, they're going to think we're going to do this. We're going to go do that just because of this. And maybe that's part of it, but man, stick with what works until it doesn't work. You know, instead of, like, going off and doing something else and then coming back to the thing that worked. And it's like, okay, so you left, came back, now it works. Okay. And it's working again. Why did you go away from it? Stick with it until somebody shows they can stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's, you know, when we talk about trying to, as fans, trying to identify what, you know, what qualities that you should be looking for in a head coach, you know, a lot of what, you know, both of you are saying is a very true statement. You know, I think I would say that Arthur had a formula, you know, in Tennessee. Oh, you know, we can go back and forth on whether who made who as far as, like, Derrick Henry or what have you. Maybe he just fed the beast, so to speak, you know. So, but I think there's also times where it's like, okay, I finally get to, you know, spread my wings, so to speak, you know, make the full decisions. Because even, like, you go back to the Dan Quinn days when Sark got here. You know, Toby, you remember I was pretty excited about having Sark here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was excited for what he did at USC and Washington and all that jazz. But then he was handed, you know, Shanahan's playbook and said, here, run this. You know, and now I was chuckling last night when I was watching the Texas game. I even tweeted out, I said, Sark, if you call one more screen pass, because like, I was like, you got to dial up something other than a screen, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot to be said about, you know, you got better hands saying, you know, we don't have a culture. We're just a blah team. We have no sound bites of any post-game, pre-game speeches that'll get you fired up. And, you know, then Huckle follows it up with, how about being a leader of men? Okay. I actually think Dan Quinn, or not Dan Quinn, sorry. I think, you know, Arthur Smith, for the most part, like, you know, does a pretty good job of being a leader. As good as I've seen any other coach, really. But we don't get to see what's going on. We have to make assumptions off of, you know, press conferences, things you see on the sidelines, and stuff that we hear beat reporters saying. Like, I had a conversation with a beat reporter that he says, like, in his estimation, I'm not going to tell you who it is because I don't want to. I told him that I'd keep it to myself, so to speak. But he says that, you know, he feels like Arthur's going to be back, and he thinks that there will be a shakeup on the offensive staff. But he agrees with a lot of the critique people have about routes being sloppy and timing is inconsistent. He says, but if you look at conceptually at what Smith does in terms of the under center stuff, the run game design, play action usage, it's right in line with Shanahan and McVay. Like, those guys have built their systems off of the same concepts. Like, he was in the room with Matt LaFleur and, you know, influenced by those guys. And so, I think somebody said earlier, it's still a very young offense. It's a young offense without a play caller. And what I mean by a play caller is, or signal caller, you know, without a QB. So the question that you have to ask yourself is, you know, the fans as a whole, are out on Smith.
Yeah.
They don't want to give him the opportunity to fix it. I'm not saying that I am in or out. I'm just saying I am frustrated by inconsistencies. Okay.
Yeah.
Where do you lay the blame of the inconsistencies? You can lay the sloppy route running and all that jazz. Like, fine. If it's not Arthur Smith, then we need to have a talk with position coaches.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? We need to have a talk with Ragone and Schaub and Yates and all those guys. Like, why aren't we snapping off routes and, you know, stuff of that nature, right? Yep. And so, and like, after next week, it'll be interesting to see what transpires. If Arthur Smith stays, I think there will be a shakeup, whether it's Ragone or what have you. Somebody said, try to get some coaches off of a winning organization, not the Bears. I thought that was pretty good.
Not the Bears.
Yeah, because like, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, like, Toby has brought up plenty of times. If you look at, I don't have the actual book. I have the digital copy. But there's a guy named Bobby Peters. Okay. This is the 2018 Tennessee Titans passing concepts. Okay. You read this book and then look at what we're doing. There's not a ton there that match up. But if you take the same book from the Mitch Trubisky era Chicago Bears, and there's a fair amount in there that match up with what we're trying to do. And Toby's brought that to light plenty of times.
Yeah.
So hopefully, if he's still here, he gets a different voice to listen to. That would be my thing. So
what I'd like to see is next year, I want our quarter, like, what? I'm just curious why not every single team out there doesn't have their quarterback wearing the little thingy on their arm. Oh. Says, here's, like, that tells them what all the plays are.
I don't know, for all the folks who are talking about, you know, Todd Monken, he didn't want Lamar doing that to begin with. So,
which is weird. I don't understand that. Even if it's like, well, I want him to learn the playbooks. Okay, that's fine. But until he learns that playbook, he's still got to be out there and play. He's mm-hmm. still got to be able to make the calls. He's still got to be able to do all the things he's got to do. And he's going to make the mistakes that you expect when a person is learning an offense. Just put it on there. And that way he doesn't have to worry about learning the offense. Or mm-hmm. yes, he starts to learn the offense, but he doesn't have to memorize necessarily like every single thing. Like, you know, and you can get that stuff in quicker by just saying like, play 75 or whatever the hell it is on there. However, he goes and finds it and says, okay, here's what we're doing.
I mean, I don't know. Fred is giving us another $5, which we appreciate.
Thank you, Mr. Butts, again.
He said he'd bring him back if he would use his weapons downfield and stop trying to keep the games close. Understood.
I don't think he's trying to keep games close.
I will say like, this, as far as like I've heard the whole not feature weapons, I do find that comical because Kyle Pitts broke the franchise tight end record, almost broke the league tight NFL. End record. Yeah. For a rookie tight end, Drake London has passed Julio Jones for the franchise record of most receptions in the first 2 years of the career. And I think Bijan Robinson is like, he's passed the all purpose yards by a rookie. And he's like 60 yards away from passing the rushing record for a rookie.
Well, yeah. Yeah. So passing his teammate.
Yeah. Passing out. I do find that kind of interesting. Like, yeah, Nick says he's 52 yards away from 1,000 yards. So I think that's interesting that people are like, oh, he can't feature, he doesn't feature his guys. And I think we think about that because you have a ball sail right over the fingertips of Van Jefferson, you know, when you have Kyle Pitts and Drake London, you know, but I don't know. It's interesting.
I'll say this: the throw. I was very disappointed in the throw to Pitts in the end zone that I thought was close enough that he should have dove for it. Like that was my own personal opinion, and it just looked like he gave up. That's what it looked like to me. I'm not saying he did or didn't. I'm simply just giving my opinion of what I saw looking at the tape, and I was like, What else? It's late in the season, man. Go put your body on the line a little bit.
T-Mac's like, now if we can just get a QB to break some records. Agreed.
I mean, we had one and everybody bitched about him too. So
I will say this though. I do find this hilarious. Chris, our resident Oregon fan, says, do people want to draft Penix because of his last 7 games of the season or just because of last night? I think, hey, Chris, your bias is showing, brother. You might want to put that duck back in your pocket, bro.
he was making throws that I swear, it was almost like he had like a missile guidance system on it, like putting balls in the exact spot.
As far as just like just plain throwing, like if all we're going to judge a quarterback off of is just throwing. Then Penix is up there with, Penix, if he goes on and wins the, national title and has a good game against that defense, against Michigan that shut down Alabama, then the only thing that's going to stop him from going high is if his medical's on his knees and stuff that ended his season in Indiana. So it'll be interesting. Chris said he'd draft all 3 Washington receivers with no bias. Oh yeah, and Polk for sure.
Who was the defensive guy? Trice, was that his
Trice,
name?
Braylon Trice.
Yeah, that dude. I liked him.
Yeah, he's a beast for sure. Let's see. Trying to think if there's anything else.
Well, let me ask you this question. Yo. Let's say. We get to the end of the season, no playoffs. Arthur Smith is kept.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
What is, in your opinion, the thing that you would be most excited for next
year? Toby,
the two running backs, man. You need to build your offense around the running backs. You got guys who can catch. Tyler has shown amazing hands this year, and I was very impressed. I didn't think he'd be able to do that, but he's shown consistently he can catch football and not only catch it, but get yards for you when he catches it. Mm-hmm. So now you have two offensive weapons with your running backs that can catch the football. So they need to be more implemented into the offense when it comes to the passing attack. And this is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about a formula. Number one, Arthur Smith is missing a gut feel. He don't have a gut feel for the game. And when you are a coach, you have to have a gut feel on what to do at the right time. And he doesn't always time that well. He doesn't do well with that. Number two, he had a winning formula when he was with the Tennessee Titans. And I'm going to tell you one route that he ran almost every time, but flipped the field, flipped the formation with it. Can y'all guess what route that was?
I know he ran a lot of like in break and slants a ton.
The dig route.
Yeah.
A.J. Brown, he would move him in different formations according to what he saw in the defense. They ran that dig route into the ground, and nobody could stop it. This is what I'm talking about. I don't know if he lost that when he got over here and just overthinking when he got to the Atlanta Falcons, but he needs to get back to having a winning formula and what his team can do and what works. Because that dig route, and see, I thought that's what they was going to do with Drake London when they drafted him.
Right.
Because that dig route was something that he called in just about any offensive formation and any route concepts that he ran. So he needs to get back to that.
No, I agree. The dig routes and, you know, I've thought by now that they would have implemented a little bit more mesh concepts. Because a lot of times when you watch Tennessee, I've described it in the past, it's like you had guys run through mud, you know, in the middle of the field and then pop out the other side to green grass. And that's when you're hitting them, whether it was Janu or A.J. Brown or what have you. So it's like those type of rub routes and stuff. And I don't know, like you say, it's interesting to see that stuff not
well
show so, up so, as much.
So rub routes are going to be good if you're generally are good, you know, they're man beaters, right?
Yeah.
Mesh concept, man beater. The problem is that we have quarterbacks that are not as adept at dissecting zone defenses.
And maybe that's
And so if they're just throwing zone defense at you a lot of the game, every now and then doing some man coverage if they're going to blitz or something like that. But if they're throwing a lot of zone, then it's really hard to go and try to do those rub routes. It's hard to do the mesh routes concepts in a zone against the zone defense. Like that's just going to be a problem. You're not going to have that muddied middle that somebody pops out on the other side.
A lot of what we've seen, like, you know, that we're talking about today is like, oh, it's QB play holding back. It's QB play holding him back, right? So I'm not saying that it's not, but something I looked at last night, because I was apparently on New Year's Day all up in my feels on my Twitter rampages. But the Browns are currently 11-5, and they've had three different quarterbacks. From Deshaun Watson to DTR to smoking Joe Flacco, who has somehow resurrected the corpse of himself to be a great quarterback again. The Colts are 9-7 with mainly Gardner Minshew as their QB. The Bengals are 8-8, and they lost Joe Burrow and have had Jake Browning and I don't know who else. I can't remember who else they had.
I can't think of who the other guy would be.
But there was another guy before they trotted out Jake Browning. The Steelers are 9-7 with four different quarterbacks. Trubisky, Mason Rudolph, Kenny Pickett, and
Rudolph. So Mason Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph, Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky. I thought there was somebody else. Maybe I'm wrong on that one. But either way, bunch of different quarterbacks, you know, three or four different quarterbacks. And they're 9-7.
Yep.
And so I stated out, like, you know, just think long and hard before you solely blame QB play. Right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you got to go ahead.
I'm glad you said what you said, but what do they all have in common? They got a winning formula. They know what their go-tos is.
Right.
And this is what a coach with a winning formula knows what his go-tos is. When they need it at the right moment, at the right time to win a game, they know what their go-tos are. So they can go to it to get back in the game if they need to. See, this is why Kyle Shanahan is as good as he is, because he has his go-tos he can go to when he need to. Okay? Mm-hmm. So when you don't know that, you still haven't figured that out yet, like I told y'all about the dig route. Just about every offensive formation and every route concept that Arthur Smith ran over there in Tennessee, A.J. Brown was getting wide open with them dig routes.
Right.
Okay? He's not doing that over here consistently.
So do you think it comes down to, because it's hard for me to think that a professional coach has just forgot. You know what I'm saying? So do you think it's simply these guys are young and I can't trust a QB?
No, you know what? What I'll say it is, it's this offense is not the offense he ran. I stick with that because I know based on what I've watched and watched the Tennessee and them, I think Arthur Smith is still not as comfortable with doing what Dave Ragone wants to do. And eventually he's going to have to make a decision.
Yeah, it's either Ragone or I'm going to lose my job.
That part.
Casually watching, Matt Ryan actually had his worst statistical career under Frank Reich in Indianapolis. But if you're talking about worst year as a Falcon, yes, it was that. So I saw that pop up a couple times today. I mean, it could be as simple as he's in over his head. Like I said before, not every coordinator makes a good head coach.
This is true.
Like there's no denying that. We see it time and time
again. And the same thing could happen. We don't know. I mean, but you know, for all we know, Ben Johnson could be the next Arthur Smith.
That's what I'm saying.
Slow it could be him. Like right. We just don't know.
Like you don't know until you get him in here, until they're given the job, until they're given the keys. They could have the perfect plan on paper. What was Mike Tyson's famous line? Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a version of that is everybody has a plan until the arrows and or the bullets start flying. Yep. You know, so it could very well be snowball effect. You know, it could be a product of something I laid out in a post on Twitter. As you can sometimes watch my brain war with itself on Twitter. But you could easily look at it as, hey, the first year he was here, yes, he was coming into a tough situation, but as soon as you walk through the door, one of your franchise pillars, the guy who's behind your head, Toby, basically told you he wanted out.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you didn't sign up fully, like with the full intentions of having to then turn around and trade Julio Jones. And then you go from that, like you think to yourself, all right, I'm in position. I got Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, and I'm going to add, you know, a freak of nature, Calvin Pitts to the mix. By the time you get four or five games in, you got Kyle Pitts.
Yep.
And a lot of those kids.
And Ridley's, you know. like lost his mind.
That's what I'm saying. Like really checked out, you know, because of, you know, mental concerns or whatever, you know, he checked out, whether that was him figuring out how to get out of here or whatever. Doesn't matter. You know, not getting into that, but
yeah.
Like by mid season, your first season, you're in a completely different situation than you thought. And then you still, to this day, can't convince me that the Deshaun Watson stuff wasn't spearheaded by Blank and McKay.
I'm pretty sure we know it. That's the case, right?
Well, we don't. It has not been 100% confirmed by anybody.
I've heard it. I've seen it from enough different sources,
right?
And enough different people that
yeah.
That we know that from what we understand, Watson reached out to Blank. Blank initiated everything. Yeah. And now a lot of people are thinking that's why he's probably getting a little bit longer of a leash than what people might want, because Blank got in there and interfered.
Right. So let's, okay. So that's what I'm saying. So if you talk about being in over his head, maybe that's what put him over his head. And hopefully what you have seen this year, hopefully what he has seen, if he's retained, he's like, okay, these are the things that absolutely need to change going forward. Right. T-Mac, we only get a second round pick if they sign him to an extension. If they don't, I think it's a third. So, but anyway, we've been rambling on for damn near an hour and a half.
yeah.
Which is kind of crazy for us. But
I can't imagine anybody wants to listen to us for an hour and a half.
I know, right? We have 80 some odd folks in here listening to us.
But God is good. Look at that.
That's it. That's it. You know, hey, we love everybody, even if you don't agree with
us. Yeah, man.
But next week, hopefully, like some, okay, I'm going to put y'all on the spot. I'm going to put y'all on the spot. Let's just say we lose. Mm-hmm. We're just going to put that out there. We lose Sunday, right? Bucks win. We lose. Eighth overall pick. Worst case scenario. Jonathan, are you bringing back Arthur Smith? If you're Arthur Blank, are you bringing back Arthur Smith for year four?
If I'm Arthur Blank, knowing mm-hmm. what I did to potentially short circuit it, probably yes. I'm bringing him back, letting him try to see if he can get the offense together. I want to hear like a for sure, like, what is your plan to right this ship? And I'm hoping that I like the answer, but yeah, I probably would bring him back.
Toby. Same
yeah, I think it's not going to matter. I would bring him back simply because whoever the coach would be is going to end up having to get them a quarterback. So I would just bring Arthur Smith back. I think now he's finally at least gotten it down packed on who the defensive coordinator is going to be, you know, now, because they've improved tremendously since Ryan Nielsen has gotten here. And other than a few game blunders that they had and mental breakdowns they've had in a few games, they've been consistent most of the season. So I think you've gotten that down. Now you just got to figure out your offensive plan moving forward. And Dave Ragone, in my opinion, should not be part of that plan.
Right.
Yeah, no.
To the season.
Fred, my good buddy Fred.
One more time, Mr. Butts.
One more time. He says, we're winning the division Sunday. I love,
hey, man,
I love
let's go.
Fred's
hey.
Optimism.
I want it. I don't care about we can figure the draft out later.
Yeah, I can.
I want to beat the Saints.
I'll tell you all day long, draft pick is a crap, and I'll take a win over a loss any day.
Yeah.
One thing real quick. Yeah. I asked you guys, what were you most excited for, say, coming up next season? The thing that I'm most excited for is I want to see, okay, this was the first, like you just talked about, Ryan Nielsen, first year as DC, first year calling the plays, first year, like, trying to put together a defense for realsies. And he had some pretty good success. So now you go into year two, maybe you look at and like, okay, here are some of the deficiencies. I want to see where this defense ends up next year. Hopefully, at minimum, at least as good as what it has been this year, but maybe even a little bit better.
Yeah, that'd be funny. I mean, that'd be fun to see, you know? Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm torn. I don't know if I have a good decision. I don't know what I would do if I was Blank. I don't know, because obviously you got no guarantees either way. Like, if you guaranteed me that Ben Johnson comes in and is able to reproduce everything he did in Detroit, then yeah, bring me one of those guys. But that's no guarantee.
And I wish I had that kind of optimism.
I think MJ is just messing with us.
Man.
Either way, all right, folks, we appreciate y'all greatly. Hopefully we'll be talking about beating the Saints on Sunday, and then we can have a whole offseason of bickering about what we're going to do as far as the coaching and all that other staff goes. But as always, y'all can follow me on Twitter / Twix. I'm at Grim 1128, Grimm 1128. Toby.
Toby 1991.
Jonathan.
At Jonathan M. Holder. At Jonathan M. Holder. Come by, say hi.
There you go. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. That's why if you bring Arthur Smith back, there's got to be some form of changes. Anyway,
before we go,
yo,
we have broken a record tonight.
What did we do?
This is the longest we've gone on this show that I can remember in a long time, an hour and 30 minutes.
Uh-huh.
That's a record.
Yeah. Like, I think
you noted.
Okay. Yeah. About to say outside of,
can't get off without saying that.
Outside of draft streams, we tend to, I try to keep us around hour and 15, but yeah, that was a good show tonight. And I'm sure we're going to have a lot to talk about next Tuesday. So make sure y'all join us one way or the other. We're either going to be griping that he's still here or going, who are we going to hire? So it should be fun either way. Peace.
Happy New Year, everyone.
That's it.
Rise up. Happy New Year.
Rise up, y'all.
Rise up.